The Gospel of Luke in the New Testament, chapter 17, Luke 17. And I want to give you the final message here on a study we've been doing on forgiveness. And last week we talked about this. We talked about the four promises of forgiveness. When you anybody need a handout, by the way? I really want you to have this. There's some verses we're going to look at on here. Anybody need a handout? Even if you don't take notes, you need it because there's some verses we're going to look at. Anybody else need one? Okay, right here. Anybody in the balconies? All right. If you do not have a Bible, please use the pew Bibles in front of you. That's what they're there for. Every Sunday we study God's Word together, and we really want you to look in the Bible. And check me out, make sure that I'm giving you God's Word and that I'm not just up here wasting your time giving you my Word. Last week we looked in Ephesians 1 and we saw how God forgives us. And from that, because God says as He forgives us, we're to forgive others. So as we looked at God's forgiveness, we derived four promises of forgiveness. If you forgive someone, basically you're making four promises biblically if you forgive them. Number one, I'll just put them up here real quickly. Go ahead and bring them up. I will no longer dwell on this incident. I will not bring up this incident again and use it against you. I will not talk to others about this incident. And I will not allow this incident to stand between us or hinder our relationship. The four promises of forgiveness here are very difficult to make and they're even harder to keep. But the spiritual health of your home is at stake. I found that forgiveness, most of the time, many times, it deals with issues in the home. That's when people struggle the most with it, because the ones we love the most can definitely hurt us the most. And in your handout, it says a spiritually healthy home is one where God's grace and forgiveness abounds. And the best news I have for you this morning is what we just sung, that Christ will enable you through His power to make and then to keep the four promises of forgiveness that we just put up on the screen. You see, on the cross, Christ desired forgiveness for those who had brutally beat and humiliated and crucified Him. You remember on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You say, "But Pastor, that was Jesus. He could forgive the people who had beat Him and humiliated Him and done Him wrong because He was Christ." But let me remind you, He was also humbled Himself as a man. He was a man. He took on our humanity. And the good news is this, if you're saved, the same Jesus that said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," that same Jesus lives in you if you're saved. His Spirit lives in you and will abound if you seek Him and surrender and yield to Him. Maybe this morning you're struggling with unforgiveness. In this message, we're going to examine some biblical principles that I believe will assist you as you seek to overcome unforgiveness. You know, we saw the first message why it's so important to forgive. Because when you don't forgive, it gives Satan a foothold, a stronghold in your life. We saw that it destroys lives when we don't forgive. We saw that it's a terrible testimony for Christ when we don't forgive. Last week we came back. We saw what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not forgetting. We saw that forgiveness is a decision that you make by faith. It's a decision that you make in obedience to God by faith and through Christ in you. And we saw the four promises of forgiveness. But now, you may be here this morning and say, "I see why I need to forgive. And Brother Dan, I see the four promises of forgiveness. I see the biblical way to forgive, but I'm still struggling with this thing." Well, hopefully this morning's message will be a real blessing to you. I'm going to be very practical from God's Word, and I really want to dig in, and as we study God's Word, we're going to get some help on this issue. In your handout is a verse that I'd like for you to look at. It's Ephesians 4:32. It's a key verse, okay? It's written to the church, and here's what it says: "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted," and then what's the next phrase, church? "Forgiving one another." Why? He says, "Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath" what? "Forgiven you." My friend, you've been forgiven, and God says now you need to forgive others. How do I do it? Number one, in your handout, confirm repentance. Confirm repentance. According to Ephesians 4:32, the verse we just read, the Bible says that I'm to forgive as God has forgiven me. Well, God forgave me the very moment that I repented of my sins and I confessed my sins and I confessed my need of Jesus Christ. I confessed my need of His forgiveness. When I came to grips with my sin and the fact that I have broken God's law, and when I came to grips with that thing, saw my sinfulness, and just cried out to Jesus to save me, that very moment, He forgave me of all my sins. How about you? When a person, in your handout, it says, when a person has sinned against you, it is difficult to forgive that person. It is difficult to forgive that person if he or she has failed to repent and confess his or her sin. I want you to go to Luke 17, and let's look at this passage of Scripture. Luke 17. I really want you to see it now, okay? So let's turn there. If you don't have a Bible, use the Pew Bible. Luke 17, 3 and 4. Jesus said, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, what am I supposed to do?" I'm supposed to forgive him. Look at verse 4. "And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent," he said, "well then, what's your obligation?" According to that verse, what do I have to do? I got to forgive him. Now, here's the thing. Notice, though, he said, if he repent. Did you notice that? Forgive him. Here's the thing. When you find yourself in this situation where somebody has really done you dirty and they've done you wrong and they have really just offended you and they've done something wicked against you and they've not repented, then it would be very wise for you to go to that person who has wronged you and explain to them why you are having a difficult time forgiving them. Go and confront them. As the Bible says, rebuke them. Hey, confrontation is biblical. Confrontation is one of the most biblical things there is. He says, go to that person, rebuke them. You know what we do? Instead of doing that, many times we just hold it inside. Many times what we do is we'll go and tell someone else. Now there is a time to go to somebody else, but not till you have first dealt with them. You need to go to them. You need to basically, when it says rebuke them, you basically say, hey, you've really offended me. You have done something wickedly against me, and I'm really struggling with this thing. And I want to see you repent of this and seek my forgiveness. If they refuse to do it, the Bible says take one or two godly people with you to confront them. And if they still won't repent, then the Bible says bring the church. Get the church leadership involved. And if they still won't repent, let them be as the heathen. They're like a lost person. And at that point, you have to treat them as such. You just have to offer forgiveness in a way that you would to a lost person that doesn't even know Christ. So confirm repentance. Go to them. You say, I just don't know if I could do that. Well, you know what? And maybe there's a time when you need to take somebody with you. Maybe you say, I just don't know. You don't understand how deep and emotional this is. Well, maybe you do need someone to go with you, but take someone with you. But confront them. Confront them about it. And maybe they'll repent when they see how deeply they've hurt you. Maybe they will repent. Once they repent, then you have to offer those four promises of forgiveness. Number two, the second principle is this: recognize and turn from sinful attitudes and expectations. Now, we're talking about ourselves right now. You say, what do you mean? Well, look, if you'll look in your handout, I want you to get this. Many times we withhold forgiveness because... here's just a few reasons why we refuse to forgive. Number one, we believe the offender must earn or deserve our forgiveness. When they've earned it, I'll forgive them. Number two, we've got another false notion. We want to punish the offender and make him or her suffer. We feel like they've hurt us so deeply, now they need to suffer. So I will withhold my forgiveness from my son or my daughter or my aunt or my uncle or my grandma or my grandpa or my wife or my husband. I don't want to forgive them because I want them to suffer for what they've done. And after they've suffered a while, then maybe I'll forgive them. Number three, on the back side of your handout, we want him or her to guarantee us that the offense will never occur again. We want some guarantees if we're going to forgive. Now, how does this coincide with Ephesians 4:32? Can you flip your handout back over and let's look at Ephesians 4:32 again? And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Notice the phrase here. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Can I ask you a question, believers, in here this morning? Okay. Is there any way that you could earn or deserve God's forgiveness? Yes or no? No. That's why He gives it as a free gift to repentant sinners. You know, the Bible says if we just confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? To forgive us. You know, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. That's what we earn. We deserve death for our sin. But the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no way you could ever earn or deserve His forgiveness. Now listen, here's where the rubber meets the road. Just as you could never earn or deserve God's forgiveness, it's wrong for you then to say, okay, when that person earns my forgiveness, I'll give it to them. You're not forgiving as God has forgiven you. You say, well, what about that one? I want to punish him. I want to make him suffer. And once they've suffered enough, I'll forgive them. When we repent of our sin, does God withhold forgiveness for a time period in order to punish us? Yes or no? No. When we repent of our sin, God forgives us how? Immediately. We have to grant forgiveness just as freely. How about this? Well, I'll forgive them, but I want some guarantees that this isn't going to happen again. Does God demand guarantees from us regarding our future conduct before He'll forgive us? Yes or no? No. And we have no right to make such a demand of others. Notice, forgiveness is based on repentance, period. Luke 17:3. Look at it again. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Forgiveness is based on repentance, folks, not guarantees. Do not allow fear of the future to delay forgiveness. Well, when they earn it, I'll give it to them. Can I share something with you? Trust must be earned, but not forgiveness. If your spouse has done something, listen, if your spouse has done something to betray your trust and they have offended you but they have repented of it, you must make the four promises of forgiveness. But we understand trust must be earned. You have forgiven them and you make those four promises, you're not going to throw it back in their face and you're not going to go and talk to other people about it and all that. But on a practical level, we know that if they've betrayed your trust, that trust has to be earned. Trust must be earned, not forgiveness. Don't confuse the two. Number three, the third thing in your handout, if you're having a problem with this thing of forgiveness, do this. Assess your own contribution to the problem. Assess your own contribution to the problem. Because here's the thing, in your handout, it says, in many cases, your sins may have contributed to a conflict. Your sins may have contributed. I didn't say cause, but it may have contributed to the conflict. Turn your handout over and look at Ephesians 4:32 again. It says, and be ye kind one to another. And I want you to notice that next phrase because we all need a dose of this. What is that word? Boy, don't we all need that right there? Sometimes we're so hard, aren't we? We're so hard on other people. And sometimes we can be so hateful and so mean and we can just be so hard on other people. The Bible says, be tenderhearted. Hey, how have your sins contributed to the conflict? Assess your own sins. It's easy to get the idea that someone else's sins more than cancel your sins. Well, man, their sins far outweigh mine in this. I'm not going to go to them. I don't want to confess my sins to them because their sins have far outweighed mine. They've done much more. They started it. And you know what that leads to? It leads to a self-righteous attitude that can retard forgiveness. Remembering your faults usually makes it much easier to forgive others for theirs. And that's why I have a verse in your handout in Galatians 6:1. Everybody look in your handout. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he sinned. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of what? Meekness. But notice the next phrase. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The Bible says, before I go and before I approach Brother Mark Kathman about his sin, right? He says, first of all, before I ever go and confront him about his sin against me, the Bible says, number one, I should consider who? Consider myself. I got to think, okay, how have I been sinful in this thing? Have my sins contributed to this conflict? I'll tell you, one of the most difficult things to do is to eat crow. Amen? And I've eaten it. I know. And I can just tell you from my own personal life, and if I had time, I could sit down and share testimonies with you, but I can just tell you from my own life, there have been times in my life when I was so convinced I was right. That other person had done wickedly, they had done wrong, they had really hurt me and done wrong against me and my family. And you know what? The truth is, they had. But when I really became tender-hearted, I began to realize I had said things that were wrong. I had done things that were wrong. And I decided I'm going to go to them, and whether they confess and repent or not, I will confess and I will repent of where I've been wrong. I'm not going to bring up theirs right now. I'm just going to deal with mine. And you know what? When you do that, many times the other person will break down. And they will realize, they will admit where they've been wrong and where they've done wickedly. So assess your own contribution to the problem. Then number four, the fourth thing there is this. If you're having trouble with forgiveness, remember God's forgiveness. I want you to take your Bible and go to Matthew. Okay, go to the left a couple of books. Matthew, Mark, Luke. So if you're in Luke, go back to Matthew 18, please. Remember God's forgiveness. Matthew 18. And I want you to get this in your handout. It says the quickest way in your handout, the quickest way to overcome an unforgiving attitude is to focus your attention on how much God has forgiven you. Let's put it on the screen. Put that up on the screen. Yeah, you overcome it the quickest way. Just remember how much God's forgiven you. Great story here Jesus told. Matthew 18, verse 22. Verse 21. Matthew 18, 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, They were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, he said unto him, notice this, verse 32, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Remember, folks, it was 10,000 talents. He said, I forgave thee all that debt. Verse 32, because thou desirest me, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? You know what this guy's problem was? He had failed to remember the great forgiveness that was shown to him. And you know what the illustration is, don't you? That's us. Many times, we take all of God's forgiveness, and man, we want it, we know we need it, we know we got to have it, and man, we're thrilled with it. And it's like those 10,000 talents, the many times we've sinned against God. But then somebody offends us once, and we're not so quick to dispense the grace and forgiveness that was given to us by God. That's the point of the illustration. You see, folks, we need to remember God's forgiveness. Take a long, hard look at how much God has forgiven you. And the more you understand, and the more you appreciate the wonders of His grace and forgiveness, the more motivation that you'll have to forgive others. And then number five, draw on God's strength. The last point is this, draw on God's strength. If you're having problems with forgiveness, draw on God's strength. You got to remember something, church. Now stay with me here. The true forgiveness depends on God's grace. If you try to forgive others on your own, you are in for a long and frustrating battle. When my kids were growing up, Clint, when he was growing up, he had one of them inflatable things that stood about this high. They kind of had a picture of a person painted on there, be different people. And you remember, they were inflatable, and then they had sand in the bottom. Remember that? And you would hit it, and what would it do? Bloop! Boom! And it'd go down. Bloop! Boom! And it'd go down, and then bloop! And it's so cute watching little kids do it, because they're like, boom! Boom! You know? And it hits them when it comes up. And you know, that's exactly what it's like when you try to forgive in your own power and strength. Man, you think you got it taken care of, and before you know it, it comes back up and slaps you upside the head again. All right, I'll forgive them. And you do it through your power and your strength, and man, poop, comes right back up and hits you again. You have to rely on the strength of Christ in you. In your handout, it says, as you rely on Christ in you and depend on His strength, you can forgive the most painful offenses. What did we sing this morning? I can do what? All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Listen, it's through Christ in you that you can forgive. Do you hear me? It's through Christ in you that you can forgive. We were going over the bridge this week, one of the bridges down over the river, and this building was half torn down. Two of the walls were just gone, demolished, and the debris was all there. And then there were two other walls that weren't demolished yet. Remember that, boys? And we saw that. And then we came back a few days later, and all the walls were demolished. The entire building was demolished, and there was just mounds of debris everywhere. After you know why they're doing that, don't you? After you demolish an obstruction, then what do? You got to clear away the debris so you can build a new structure. The Bible calls that reconciliation. To be reconciled means that you've replaced hostility and separation with peace and friendship. We see when you forgive, the walls come down. But wait a minute. When you clear the debris and now you begin to forge a good relationship with that person, now you're rebuilding that building. That's what God's done for us in our relationship with Him. The Bible says we've been reconciled to God. He has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. You see, reconciliation goes beyond forgiveness. Forgiveness is great, and we need to forgive. But then when we go beyond that, it's reconciliation. And that's what God has in mind for us in dealing with one another. I'm going to put a verse up here, Matthew 5. He says, you know, God says, if you come to offer a gift to me, but He says, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Reconciled. Doesn't mean they're your best friend, but it means the relationship is at least as good as it was before the offense occurred. And once that happens, an even better relationship may develop as you give that person an opportunity to regain your trust. In your handout, it says, unless a deliberate effort is made to restore and strengthen a relationship, it will generally deteriorate. Unless a deliberate effort's made to restore and strengthen a relationship, it will generally deteriorate. And number, the last thing there, forgiveness and reconciliation are so much better than bitterness, conflict, anger, and animosity. Would you agree with me on that, church? So much better than bitterness and anger and just being a... There are people that have become just angry people. Bitter people. And it's over this issue right here. Forgiveness. Let's all bow our heads and let's close our eyes right now. And I want us to meditate on God's forgiveness of us. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as you're praying, do you know that God has forgiven you of all your many sins? Do you know that you're forgiven? Do you know that Christ lives in you? Do you know that you've been reconciled to God? Or have your sins separated between you and God? My friend, listen. If you've never been delivered from the penalty of your sin, if you've never been saved, never been delivered, you need to come to Christ today and be saved. You need to experience the forgiveness of the Lord. You and I have sinned against God multiple times. We've offended God's holiness and we've broken God's law, and now we need forgiveness. Have you been forgiven? Do you know that you are forgiven? If you do not know that for sure, we invite you to come this morning. We'll be glad. I'll be right up front here and we'll take you aside privately and we'll take the Bible and take as long as you need until you can leave this building knowing from God's Word that you're forgiven. Knowing that you're forgiven, knowing that you're at peace with God. And then if you're here this morning and you say, man, I have been forgiven. I know I'm saved. Well, are there issues of unforgiveness in your heart towards someone else? Are you kind of like that guy in the story that Jesus told, who's been forgiven so much but won't forgive others? Let's pray right now. Let's just examine our hearts. Father, we pray right now that every one of us will examine our hearts, we'll be honest before you, and we'll let the Word of God change our life today.